So kids, sometimes it's pretty hard for the body to work together when each body has its own body, right? Like, but this is what we're going to be talking about today. So we're going to watch a movie, a little video, and it will tell more what we're going to do. There you go. I need those are going to read the scriptures to come up now, okay? We're going to read the passage that we're going to be talking about today. So those that have a verse to read, you can come up to the front. Just wait for everyone. Okay, so you got to stand in the order. Let's see if you guys can do it.
Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it's with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many.
Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body.
If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body.
The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker and indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are imperishable and treated with special modesty, well, our presentable parts need no special treatment.
But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it.
Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed it in the church, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues.
Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interrupt? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts.
Good job. morning, we are talking about the body. We are talking about the body of Christ. We are talking about the church. So, we have a body, plus it's one body, plus many, many parts. We are many. We are all different people from different walks of life. But together, with that one body, we equal Mr. Potato Head. No, we are the church. And this is what Paul is talking about to the people in Corinth. In his first few verses, verses 12 and 13, he lays out the theological basis for the body analogy. You'll see in this scripture that he mentions the word one. He mentions it five times in these first two verses. And it's also the first time in this chapter that he mentions the word body. And from this point to the end of this chapter, he mentions body 18 times. So he is talking about a oneness that is talking about the body. So there's some significance behind the reason why Paul is trying to point out that we are one body. And it could be because he's trying to show that one body is Christ. That he's referring to Christ as the church. What was Paul's name? Hey kids, do you remember what Paul's name was before he was a Christian? Yeah? Saul. Paul used to be this guy that would go around and he would basically go around and persecute Christians. Do any of you know what persecution is? It means killing. So when Paul was Saul, he would go around and he would kill Christians. On one occasion, he was traveling to Damascus and he encountered Christ. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Jesus didn't say, why are you persecuting my followers? Why are you persecuting Christians? He said, why are you persecuting me? Was Saul actually going around and persecuting, like, Jesus? No, he was persecuting those that follow Jesus, Christians. But here, Christ is saying that, why are you persecuting me? So the Christians, we are part of Christ. And this is the one of the main points that Paul is trying to make to the church in Corinthians. Then he gives the reason for the oneness of the church. And that is when he talks about in verse 13, for we are all baptized by one Spirit. And then at the bottom, we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, this can be pretty, you can take this and look at it as two ways with baptism. Some might say that it's talking about a different baptism than from water. Others are saying that this is talking about water baptism. Now, I'm not an expert on it, but from what I understand from this and what Paul is trying to say, is that he uses the tense, we were baptized. So it's past tense. He's talking about something that happened in the past. And he talks about all were baptized. So I strongly believe that Paul is talking about when that person in Corinth became a Christian. He's talking about when they accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. They were baptized by the Spirit. And the Spirit, he brings us into that union, into that oneness, into Christ, which we call the church. And it's the same with drinking of the Spirit. Jesus in John says, come to me, all those who are thirsty, and I will give you rest. Okay, it's an invitation to come to Jesus and receive new life in him. So both these, baptism and drinking of the Spirit, are talking about initiation experience that we have when we take on and believe that Christ is our Lord and Savior, when we accept Christ into our life. So Paul's trying to say, listen, guys, all of you, you are all Christians. You've all become part of the body of Christ. You've all accepted him as Lord and Savior. We all have the same Spirit, which is Christ, living in us. So then he goes on to his points that he makes into this chapter. And there's two key problems that he addresses to the church in Corinthians. And I think these two things also are relevant in today's church. And that is the issues of pride and selfishness. So in the first verses 14 to 20, do not underestimate your importance to the body of Christ, is basically what Paul is saying to the church in Corinthians. And he's trying to tell them, don't feel self-pity. So there's verses in it where the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. Okay, it's like saying, poor me, I am not worthy to be in this church. I don't belong in this church. I have nothing to offer to this church. Ugh, I'm just not as a great preacher like Pastor Steve is. You know, or I don't have that ability to go up to people and greet people. I just can't do that. So basically they're taking pity on themselves because they feel that they can't do anything. But that's not the case. When you look at the human body, of course the foot, you know, it envies the hand. The hand gets to wear rings. The hand gets to greet people. When it comes to the church voting, you know, it's not everyone raise their right leg or the right foot in a church voting. It's raise your hand. The foot is feeling like poor me. He's stuck in a shoe all day that's probably all sweaty and smelly. So he's not really enjoying his position in the body. And the same goes for us too. We can do that too. We can look at others and compare. But that's not right, because there's a reason why we have the foot. Do you know that there's over 200 muscles that helps the foot to walk? We use 200 muscles to move. So when I'm walking, there's like 200 muscles. I guess 400 now because there's two legs. So without our feet, we can't go anywhere. It's not like our hands can do the same thing that our feet can do. I know that some people might be able to walk on their hands, but they're not going to be able to walk that far. They're not going to be able to run. There's lots of things that the feet can do that the hands can't. And God wants us to know that there's a reason why he has given us the gifts that we have, because he wants us to be who we are created to be. He wants us to use what we have to bless the church. So then in the next part, Paul goes into a different category. Verses 21 to 26, do not overestimate your importance to the body of Christ. In this, he's talking about pride. And this is maybe one of the main issues that the church in Corinthian had, is that they were prideful. They took pride in the gifts of the miraculous, like speaking in tongues, healing people of diseases and sicknesses. They loved it. They liked the big flashy gifts, and they basically said, well, we have no need for these other gifts like serving. Like, who needs serving when we can heal people, when we can speak in tongues, in other languages? But Paul explains that we need to squash that spiritual pride because we all need each other. So, In verse 26, we probably come to one of the most powerful verses, and I like in that video that we watch, it sort of demonstrates this. And that is, if one member suffers, all members suffers with it. If one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now, I was thinking this week when I was trying to get some help. I don't know if you noticed, but when Steve left this week, he didn't actually leave me with, there wasn't like the normal worship team, so we had to put together a worship team. And Ramona was going to help, and she was going to sing and do some actions. However, she got really sick. Now, I'm sure that Ramona could probably say that even though her throat is sick, just because her throat was sick, the rest of her body probably suffered along with it. And if you've ever been sick with one little like thing, like maybe a headache, like other parts of your body suffer too. So just because something is weaker in the body doesn't make it, you know, not important. It's just as equally as important as are things like our eyes, you know, our hands, the things that are more flashy. It's interesting that Paul talks about, like, you know, the ears and the eyes. And, our ears are on the side of our heads. We don't really see them, but our eyes are in front. And when people are in love, they stare each other in the eyes. They don't stare each other in the ears, you know. We don't say, oh, what, you have such beautiful ears. No, we say, what beautiful eyes you have. But we are here to build each other up. So if one part is suffering, well, then the whole body is suffering together. If one part is lifted up, then we are celebrating together. In the last verse, verses 27 to 31, it basically is summed up as celebrating the diversity of the body. And I think here Paul lays his final point to the Corinthian church. He wants to make it known to the church in Corinthians that flashy gifts like speaking in tongues, that's good, but how does that build up the body of Christ? And I want to read it just so that we hear it again. So, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first all the apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Now those first three, those are used to build up the church. Okay, the primary gifts of the apostles, of prophets, and of teachers is to build up the church. So Paul wants to stress to the Corinthian church that these are good gifts because they're going to build up the whole church, which is going to be a good thing. And then Paul goes on, then workers of miracles, also those that have gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration. So here he lists some of the supernatural, but along with serving, which is also important that the Corinthian church sees that serving is vital. And I don't think it's by accident that he makes tongues the last thing, because that was sort of an issue in the church in Corinthians. So he says, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. So then he throws them the questions. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? All of these questions have the same answer. No, we are not all the same. We are all different. God has given us each a different gift to use, and he wants us to use that gift. If we were all preachers, then all we would probably do is just be making a lot of noise. No one would be, you know, setting up like coffee. No one would be cleaning, you know, keeping the church clean. You know, who would work the sound? You know, who would do the easy worship? Who would lead us in songs? No, everyone has a different gift that they can offer to the church. And same is what the point that Paul is making to the church in Corinthians, is that they all have different gifts to offer. And then last he says, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. Now in some translations it says, you eagerly desire the greater gifts. And this you is not in a singular you, it's in a plural. He's talking about everyone. He's talking about the church. He's talking about that one body of many members. He wants that the church desires the greater gifts. Now, when we're eating ice cream or cake at home, usually my sons, they'll have their bowl of ice cream, and they've maybe taken, you know, two spoons, and then they say, Dad, can I have more? I'm like, son, no, I'll give you more when you finish what you have in your bowl. I think the same is true with the church too. We can ask for more, fill us more with your spirit, fill us more with more gifts. But God wants us to use also what we have. So we need to first use what we have, and then we can start asking God to give us more and desire those greater things. But also this also leads into the next chapter, which leads into the greater gift, meaning love, which is what Pastor Steve is going to talk about next week. Now, we are the body of Christ. We are one, but many parts. How can you be part of the body and use your gifts, your talents, your abilities to strengthen the body of Christ? Now, here at First Baptist Church, we have a lot of things that people can do. A lot of things from different committees to different ministries and outreaches. Now, I've listed a few up here, and I could be missing some as well. But basically, we have an elders team. We have a finance team. We have an HR team. We have a property team. We have pastors. We have a moderator, records clerk, finance clerk, custodians. We have seniors ministry, church life. We have children's ministry, things like Faith at Home, Sunday school, mats and chats. We have a worship ministry, music team, sound and easy worship, ushers, decorative team, prayer community. We have discipleship, men's group, women's group, small groups, Alpha course. And then missions, where we are supporting or helping different missions abroad or in our community. So the Guthries, the Morgans, the Women's Shelter, Freedom's Door, the Metro, Young Life, University Christian Ministry, International Student Ministry, and our very own Village Garden. These are things that I saw on our website that I asked April about, that I asked, well, I don't think I asked April about. I asked Steve about. But I'm sure there's probably even more things that we do as a church, you know, and some of these are just, you know, like church life. Well, in church life, you know, they plan, you know, different dinners and outings. So, you know, people, us as a church, we have different gifts. God has gifted us with a different gift where we can serve. And here's like tons of opportunities where we can serve in the church. So what I would like to do is invite everyone to realize that you guys, that we are a body. That we are all connected through Christ. When we became a Christian and accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, we were united. We joined into that oneness with Christ. And God has placed us in this church for a reason. And that is to serve one another, but also to build up the church, to build up Christ in us. Now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is part of it. Go and be who God has made you to be and use your gifts for building up the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.